Well, good morning. It's exciting to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Wow, I'm so excited to see all of you all here. Like, this is really the party. I love this. I love this so much. I'm so grateful for this opportunity here at First Christian. I want to get, just want to give honor, you know, where honor is due. So my wife and I started to, you know, come here on Saturday nights probably a year ago, you know, in the At the Movie series, which was so amazing, by the way. And they already told you, you know, that this series coming up, you really want to invite people to come to that. That's a great series. But one of the things that we've noticed about First Christian is that this is a place where there's a real pursuit of the truth of God. And that is rare and special. You know, where people take God's word and put the value on God's word where it goes like this. This is, the Bible is the greatest gift that God gave us outside of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Like, he gave us his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but he says my word will stand forever. So no wonder you have a church where there's 100 plus years of history. It's built on the word of God. And that is amazing. And I'm grateful just to have the opportunity to serve and do ministry alongside of and with First Christian. Like, I really feel like a part of the family, you know. And so that's amazing to have a church this size and to really have a family type atmosphere. You know, like, there's a lot of people and pastors that aspire to have mega churches and huge a number of attendants. But one of the things that get lost in that is the relationship. But I don't see that at First Christian. And I don't want to take too much time about that, but really, like, First Christian has something special and is a gift to our city. And we thank God for your hearts, for our city, and just to be kingdom-minded. Because who else do you know will say, here's a guy that pastors another church. Come over here and live in this house that we bought. You know, come over here and live here and do ministry the way that you see God doing ministry in this area. And there's no restrictions, and you don't have to be a member of our church. We don't need you. It's kingdom minded. And that is special. And I promise you this, when we begin to think that way, when we begin to think kingdom, we'll see our city change. Like, yeah, our city needs to see the demonstration and expression of the kingdom of God. And that's happening. That is happening, and that's so exciting. Now, let me give you some warnings in the next couple of seconds. There's some folks in this room. It's my family, y'all. Some folks in this room that are really special to me, Kingdom Church family. Thank y'all for coming. We used to have a service at 11. They here at 9:30. That is so exciting, but... but listen, they're strange. It's a strange group of folks. These some people that have been redeemed from some stuff, and every now and again, they might break out in some stuff. You're like, what's wrong with them folks? They just say, they on that new wine that Peter was talking about, you know? Don't worry about it. They not drunk. They used to be, but they ain't drunk no more. This that new one. I praise God for my Kingdom Church family. My mom is in the room. I'm so excited about that. Mom, can you just wave your hand? Ain't she beautiful, y'all? That's my mama. My mom is in the room, and my wife is in the room. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to tell y'all right now, just pray for her. She has to deal with me every day, so pray for her. So in this, what we're talking about, this one at a time, I mean, Sister Maxine, you can't do this to me. Not today. We ain't got that much time. In this series, you know, I think this series is something that's really important in our expression of Christianity, because we have work to do. That's a reality. We have work to do. Let me just tell you a little bit about myself. So I came to Jesus at, I believe I was either nine or 10 years old, somewhere around there, elementary school. And there was a ministry by the name of Ambassadors for Christ Ministries that put on a street hoops basketball festival in the parking lot of the Macon County Health Department. in this 3-on-3 basketball tournament. Now, picture me as a 9-year-old. I was short, and I would like to say stocky, but Old Navy clothes called it husky. I got a football body, but I love basketball. And so I started playing basketball in this 3-on-3 tournament, and I would love to say that we won, but we lost like the second game. You know, it was horrible. Like, we lost the second game, but the way that this tournament was set up is you don't get to get your trophy until everything is over with. Now, keep in mind, this is an evangelical event where we're here to invite people to Jesus. And the basketball and the food is just the bait to get you here. But you're going to hear a message about Jesus, and prayerfully your life is going to be changed. But nobody is getting their trophy until after this message is preached and somebody get an opportunity to receive Jesus. So my inner competitive self, Thomas know a little bit about that. my inner competitive self at 9 years old is like, I'm going to watch the winners get this trophy, and maybe it'll fuel me to become Michael Jordan. You know, Space Jam, it just came out. So maybe it'll fuel me to be Michael Jordan next year and I'll win. But that, I wanted to see that and feel the sting of that. So I got to sit and listen to the message. And I noticed the guy that's preaching the message, he has a high top fade and he got Jesus cutting his haircut. And so I'm like, I'm sitting in the front row, because anybody that can wear a high top fade in the early 2000s is worth listening to. So I sit on the front row and I'm hearing this message, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and how Jesus died for our sins. And he's explaining to us what sin is. And that as a 9-year-old, if I don't know anything, I know I messed up. So I was a bad 9-year-old. Like, I'm the 9-year-old that got kicked out of church. You know, think about getting kicked out of church and people that love Jesus, like, you can't come back here. Like, I'm that dude. I was that guy. And I'm sitting and hearing this message, and I know, like, you know, this is summertime, but, man, I just got suspended from school, like, twice last year. And that was, like, a regular occurrence. Like, I used to mark, like, there's my one time to get suspended this year. I at least got one more coming. Like, it was just rough for me. And I'm hearing this message, and I know I'm convicted of my sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that day I gave my life to Jesus. Praise God. Like, that was a moment for me that my life was changed, because I was in that very moment, the moment that I asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life, I was translated from the kingdom of, that's church words and kingdom and Bible words, but I was translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of marvelous light. And I don't know what that means, because I'm only 9. But I know that Jesus loves me, and he died to rescue me, and I receive his payment for my sin. And so that began a moment of a transformational work that was going to happen in my life. See, Pastor Brian mentioned something in the first part of this series, and he said Jesus' last words should be our first priority. And his last words in Matthew 28, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, that disciple word is kind of a big word, and a word that we shouldn't pass over, because, you know, to be honest with you, at that moment, you know, I began the journey of a disciple, but I was a convert. I didn't know anything about what this walk with Jesus meant. I didn't know anything about scripture. All I knew was that Jesus died to save me from my sins, and that was amazing. But let me be honest with you, that was the work of the Holy Spirit. God uses us in those moments to share with people about the gospel, but the gospel is all about what God has done for us. And so the work of salvation was all Jesus' work. The cross is where that was finished. And somebody took that word literal, and they said, we're going to bring the good news, and we're going to give you the good news through a basketball tournament. And you may not come to church, but you'll come to this parking lot to hear the good news. Somebody said, we're going to go, and we're going to take this gospel to those who may not hear it any other way. And because of that, I'm able to say that I'm born again. But that was a moment. That was one moment. Let's read scripture. Let's read some scripture. And then so we can say we had an official message. I'm excited. We in church this morning. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know how to contain myself, but I'm trying. I'm really trying. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. Therefore, because of this, because of what Jesus has done, if anyone is in Christ. The new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Hear this terminology. Something that's past. It's a moment. It's done. That work is completed. Jesus on the cross. Oh, my God. Brian. Almost got preachy. Jesus on the cross, he hollers out, "It is finished." That work is done. Keep reading, Jameson. We'll do. "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Somebody say reconciliation. Oh, we might have some church this morning. "That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them." I don't know about y'all, but that's good news to me. Amen. "Not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors." Somebody say ambassador. "As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So here's the thing that we understand through verse 17. Salvation comes in a moment. It's a moment. What Jesus did on the cross, so pivotal for humanity. The sacrifice for sin is not being paid. It's paid. When Jesus said it was finished, the work of salvation was done. Amen. But discipleship, it's a journey.
Yes, it is.
Discipleship is a journey. What happens in the moment is very important, but it doesn't mean anything without the journey. I don't want to get into, you know, theology and all that kind of stuff. Man, that journey is what's pivotal, because we have to live after that. See, salvation is the fruit of what was done at the cross. None of us could have got on the cross and done that work.
Amen.
But discipleship is the part of the journey where we get the opportunity to partner with God in his work in the lives of those around us. Amen. So then there's a word that was kind of thrown out in that scripture called reconciliation. Now, reconciliation just simply means to come back to. So last week we heard from Pastor Adam. He talked to us about the lost coin, lost sheep, and the lost son, right? Y'all remember that? No? Okay. Just making sure I'm in the right church. And what's amazing about the lost son is that there's a moment of reconciliation that has to happen. The son has to make a decision that I'm going back to my father's house. That's a part of the reconciliation journey. Right, that so the reconciliation consists of the coming back or the buyback. If I was a real preacher, I'd talk to you about the buyback. Because Jesus, the Bible says, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Right, so we've been purchased with the blood of Jesus. And so that's the part of reconciliation where God has initiated, like, I've paved the way and gave you access to come back. The door's open. Then there's another part for us where we have to come back. All of that is like a marriage, right? It's like, you know, the wedding day. Thomas in here somewhere just got married not too long ago. That's my guy, by the way. I love Thomas. That's my friend. That is my real friend. They just got married, and I'm sure he probably feels like, him and Taylor probably feel like the wedding, it was a journey up to that moment. Like, all the preparation that comes before that, but let's be honest, that was a moment. The I do's, it's a moment. And while it's an instrumental moment, but it's the moment that paves the way for a journey. Because marriage began for them when all of us were gone. And we were done with that party. And they go home and it's just them. They begin a moment of life on life with one another. They begin a moment where they learn each other and they're growing together. That is discipleship. Discipleship is the journey, the marriage with the God, with the Lord. So salvation happens in a moment, but discipleship is in a journey. Now, this reconciliation is to bring us back to righteousness with God. And what righteous is this relationship. It's right relationship with God. Sometimes the righteous people don't always do the right thing.
Come on now. Come on.
Can we be honest as church folks? We're righteous, but we don't always do the right thing. But thanks be to God that he made him who had no sin to be made sin for me so that I can be called the righteousness of God. See, Jesus began the work of reconciliation by redeeming us with his blood, but then this relationship is a journey. So another word that's thrown out there, ambassador. Ambassador is a governmental kingdom term that simply means representative. So the thing about an ambassador is an ambassador of the United States of America to Mexico has the responsibility of representing the United States, its values, and its ethics to the country that they've been sent to. So an ambassador to Mexico has to know the language, has to know the culture of the people that they've been sent to. An ambassador of the United States to China has to know the language and the culture of the people that they've been sent to. Thank God that we haven't been called unless there's a U.S. ambassador in the room. Not all of us have been called to represent the United States of America. We've been called to represent Jesus to the culture around us, to the people that are around us. And the thing about an ambassador is that we have the responsibility to represent the one that sent us like he would do it. So God, through Christ, reconciles us back to God. And Christ shows us what God is like. He represents to us the character, the nature of God. And we see it all throughout his ministry. See, Christ reconciled us to God not only by his death, but by his life. So we find this interesting passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 7. We read this often around Christmas time, you know, the time when we start talking about all the prophecies that were prophesied about Jesus' coming before he comes. And Isaiah is one of those 700 years before he comes. Says this, therefore the Lord will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive. That's a miracle. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. What's Emmanuel mean? God with us. See, Jesus' name was his assignment. His name was his assignment. All throughout scripture, we see evidence of God wanting to be with his people. Genesis, we see it happening where Adam and Eve sinned, and what did God do? He pursued. I still want to be with my people. The Israelites are in captivity to the Egyptians, and he sends Moses, and all the stuff that happens if you watch Prince of Egypt on the Disney movie, right? All the stuff that happens are, for some of us old school folks, the Ten Commandments. We see that stuff. We see where God rescues his people. And there's something really happens something really interesting happens for 40 years. They're in the wilderness, and God tells Moses to build a tabernacle because the whole time he's wanting to be with his people. Yes. I want to be with you. Amen. We can see that God is for us by the way he rescued us. We can see that he's leading us because there's a pillar of fire in the nighttime, and in the daytime there's a cloud telling us where to go. But this tabernacle, this is a demonstration that he's with us. Amen. I know he's for me, but he's with me. See, while the death of Jesus, 15 hours of suffering, that was done for us. That paved the way for us to have access to God. But when we get that access, there becomes a moment or journey where we begin to walk with the Lord. And he teaches us his ways. See, this was something that was really, really pivotal in my life, because after I give my life to the Lord, you know, there comes a time where, and I can talk about this freely because now my mom is in the room, but there comes a time where I got to do this journey with the Lord for me. Because where my environment, where I was from, God did a drastic work in my mom's life. And it was like overnight. Overnight is what it seemed like to me. Now, she'll tell you her story her own way. But overnight, what it seemed like for me is one weekend, it's the regular party. The next weekend, we had church. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. That's not exciting to a 9-year-old. So So we began to go to church on a regular basis, and I began to build relationships with people. And there was the guy that was doing this street evangelistic meeting. They decided to start a church. His name is Jesse Bates. And he never saw me like I was just a churchgoer. He saw me as a son. And so here I am, you know, now at this point, you know, 9, 10 or so years old, and we're going to church and figuring this thing out, this walk with the Lord. And here's this man that's like he never calls me by my first name. He always calls me son. To this day, if I see him, he'll kiss me right here. We begin this journey where he welcomes me in as a part of his family. I spend the night at his house with his son. We hang out, and I get to see, like, this is a real human being. Like, yeah, he's a pastor. He preaches, but this is a real human. He has a wife, and they don't always agree about everything. They do a good job at working that out. I got to see them, and they're not perfect. I got to see that he has some issues with his children from time to time, just like I'm sure my mom has issues with me. I could tell y'all some stories about my mom. I ain't gonna do that. I began preaching around 11 years old. And all I know how to do is regurgitate what I've heard. Because, you know, there's this thing in us now that by this time we're attending church for like 2 years. So I've heard a lot of scripture. And we didn't have cable, so TBN was what we watched. It was the only channel that came in clear. Can't even watch cartoons on Sunday. I mean, on Saturday. Can't even watch cartoons. Like, all we can watch is TBN with Paul and Jan Crouch with the pink hair. Y'all remember? And around this time, you know, everybody's preaching this Psalms 91:1. So I regurgitated that because this was around the Twin Tower time and 9/11 and things that happened. And so everybody was preaching this word of Psalms 91:1. So when I got the opportunity to preach my first time, that's what I did. I preached Psalms 91:1. I didn't really know much about what I was talking about. But what was happening in my life was a journey. It wasn't the preaching and the worship and drums and all that stuff that was my journey. My journey was a relationship with people. There were other people in the church that were influential too. I'll talk about that in a few moments. But this man made me a part of his family. And so now, fast forward a couple of years, I'm 13, I'm at Stephen Decatur, and I still struggle with some of the issues that I struggle with. Because, I mean, people know that the moment you get saved, like, Your what happened to you in your past environments didn't change. Yeah. That's still there. Yeah. It's not a fairy tale, sunshine and rainbows. You really have to deal with that stuff. And so from my environment, all I knew was to, so I got this new environment where I want to be a preacher, but the old environment is like, I'm a gang member. Some of you all don't know what gang member is. Google it. So I'm at school, and at school I get in a fight. Last 2 months of school, I get in a fight, and I punch this kid, break his glasses. I didn't think nothing of it. I didn't have glasses. I didn't know how much glasses cost. I'm in the principal's office, and I remember this like it was yesterday. This is much funnier because my mom is actually here. I'm in the principal's office, and the principal is on the phone with my mom on speakerphone, and she is letting me have it. I remember my mom yelling, Jameson knows better. He's a Christian. And I'm thinking to myself, no, you a Christian. I knew better than to say that, though. I knew better than to say that. But what was different, because I had been in the principal's office a lot, but what was different this time was that principal's over here, and there's a police officer on this side. I know you. What you in here for? And I find out that this kid's glasses are over $300. Yeah. If anybody know anything about law, you do damage to property over $300. Yeah. It is a felony. Yeah. Wow. And so the police officer is sharing with me the possibility of what can happen. Yeah. You can go to jail for this. I'm like, man, it's a fight. I do this every year. I ain't ever went to jail. It was the damage to property. So I get it. Basically expelled from school. They made it a long-term suspension because I think that was their loophole to not let me come back. They're like, we're going to get you out of here whether you passed or not. I literally had all Fs on my report card. I remember it. So these last 2 months of school, I remember my mom's like, you're not staying at home and playing the game. You coming to work with me. And I'm sitting at her job, bored, out of my mind. And here comes Apostle Bates to pick me up. And he picks me up, and we go on a trip. He's like, we're going to Springfield. I'm like, cool, let's go get some Chick-fil-A, you know? Like, and we pull up to the courthouse, and I'm thinking, like, man, you taking me to jail? Please don't take me to jail. We pull up to the courthouse, and we're in the courtroom, and I see his son come out in shackles. Keep in mind, like, this is not just a regular guy. This is like my big brother. I look up to this guy, and I see him coming out. And I remember this like it was yesterday. Apostle Bates leans over to me. Remember, he doesn't call me Jameson. He called me son. He says, son, if you don't change, this is going to be you. I remember how heavy those words for me, because this wasn't just a random guy talking to me. This was a guy that had put himself in my life like a dad. It's a real relationship. And so him speaking those words carried weight, because this wasn't just like a pastor on TV or in a pulpit. Like, this was relationship. And when you're in relationship with people, what they say matters. So remember, as ambassadors, we're called to represent Jesus how he would do it. One of the things that we see Jesus doing, that Jesus gained influence with people by his proximity. He was close. Remember, his name is Emmanuel, God with us. So he gains influence by being close with people, and it was his influence that transformed people's lives. What if all of Jesus' ministry was just the Sermon on the Mount? We have some amazing words that are preached to us, but we don't get the story of what happens with the man that was delivered from thousand-something demons. That man gets delivered. It's an encounter with Jesus in a moment. Boom, he's transformed. Mm-hmm. What's really interesting is that the Bible says when the people see him next, they found him seated next to Jesus and clothed and in his right mind. Yeah. Proximity. We don't have that without Jesus being relational with people. We don't have the story of tax collectors and sinners coming to Christ without Jesus being relational with people. He's having dinner at their house. Has dinner with a tax collector. The tax collector says, every person I've cheated, I'm going to give you your money back. Yeah. 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 It was his closeness to people. See, the words that were spoke to me that day were words that were spoken by somebody who took the time to be close to me. Saw value in me that I didn't see in myself. Yeah. Yeah. Represented Jesus. It was a church full of people like that. Had brothers and sisters that really spoke into my life. Sisters and brothers that let me come sleep on their couch when my mom was like, yo, you got some stuff going on. You need to get out of here. Yes. Brothers that spoke into my life about dating and just, I didn't know how to do this stuff. I didn't, nobody taught me how to date. Mm. First of all, there's no one that can teach you how to date. let's make that really clear. I didn't have any examples of that. There were people who put themselves in my life, and they were close. There were men of God. People like Pastor Charles, he's in the room right now, taught me how to use a screwdriver. I didn't know how to use a screwdriver. Really, I thought a butter knife was a screwdriver. I didn't know what a Phillips was or a flat tip, but I didn't know the difference. People who were close to me, they were able to speak into my life. Those relationships are what transformed my life. And because of that, now my wife and I, we have the amazing opportunity of doing block ministry where we get to be close with people. Every day is not a sermon being preached. I love to preach the word of God, as you could probably tell. I'm way off track here, you know, but I get excited. But we don't it's not preaching that fuels the block ministry. It's relationships that are being built with people next to us. Like, we get to speak life into our neighbors because we have dinner together. There's young men in the neighborhood that I can speak into their lives because I beat them in basketball. Yes, I'm still competitive. Ask Dominic, I dunked on him. And felt like LeBron when I did it. I gave him the whole thing. You know, I'm still competitive, but there's people that we get to build relationships with, and those relationships, you see that when you say something, it matters. See, those who have been reconciled are ambassadors. And as ambassadors, we've been given the message and the ministry of reconciliation. And we get to do it the way Jesus did it. Yeah. I don't have to talk to you about your sin. Amen. No, let's be friends. Why can't we be friends? Let's be friends. Here's the thing. Like, God has planted you in your sphere of influence to represent him in that place to those people. For me, the block is that place. You know why? Because that's where I'm from. It's not work for me to speak the language of the culture around me. I tell people all the time, I'm bilingual. I speak English and Ebonics. And really, Ebonics is my first language. I'll tell you, I ain't got no in a minute. It's called us to represent him in that place to those people. Now, this whole series has been pointing to us like, do you know that one? Because while the block ministry for me in that place, that's my place. It may not be your place. Guess what? That's okay. Please don't feel pressured to learn the language of a culture if you're not called to it. The beauty of the body of Christ is that we're all different. And we all come from different backgrounds, with different social status, different economic status. And all of that God wants to use for you to represent him in that place. Do you know your place? Do you know your people? Then he says the rest of it is like, you know, can you commit a time to pray for that place and those people? Remember, we pray. This is Emmanuel we're talking about. He's not up in heaven writing down what you pray and making a to-do list out of it. No, he's really present. He's really listening. And he's really responding. And when God speaks, he gives strategy. When you're praying for that place and those people, when God gives a strategy, are you willing to obey him and commit to that strategy? Maybe it is a dinner that you need to invite some people to. Maybe it's coffee. Maybe it's just popping up at their house. Here's the thing. Like, we can all invite people to be a part of the moment. But can we be a part of the journey with people too? What's so beautiful about doing ministry in the blockhouses? I don't have to put on a mask. My house is really crazy. Ages 10 to 1 plus me. And pray for my wife. It gets really wild from time to time. You know, the last service, I said, you know, that I don't know why my kids take their clothes off. I do know why they take their clothes off, because I do that. It's me. Like, they're all reincarnates of me, all six of them. And when people come to our house, you will see that my wife and I don't always agree. We argue. Yeah, I said it. For those of you all who have marriages where you don't argue, help me. Please. We argue. Our kids don't always listen. You might come to our house and see a naked baby and another kid playing with the dirty diaper. But guess what you also get to see? God at work. You get to see God at work in the lives of unperfect people. That speaks volumes to people who don't know Jesus. Because there's a stigma that we all got it together. None of us have it together. And when we get to show other people that here we are, these living letters that don't have it together, but God is working. And God is in the midst. It gives people hope to know that if he can do that for you, he can do it for me too. That's the greatest story. That's the greatest sermon that can ever be preached. The sermon of our lives. This is me in the process. Me in the journey of learning and growing and trying to know what it's like to be like Jesus and figuring that thing out. And the Holy Spirit correcting us and giving us a new way to live, a new way to talk. It doesn't always happen overnight. The journey, though, God is in the journey. He's in the journey, at work in our hearts and our lives. He wants us to be those that are representatives to him, of him, in that journey for others. How can we do that? You know your one. You pray for your one. Commit to the one. No, commit to the one, the journey with the one. That's not just leave people. Let's really be with people as a representation of who Jesus really is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word that's living and active. Always amazed at how you meet us where we are. God, we get the opportunity to represent you, the privilege, the joy, the honor to represent you to the world around us. You did it on purpose. You know the issues of our society, and we pray. And God, you told us we're the answer. Believers showing up and living on purpose and doing life with people, we are the answer. Help us, God, to know where we've, know the place that we've been sent to, know the people that we've been sent to represent you to, God, and know how we can commit to representing you how you want to be represented. Show us, teach us. God, as we go and leave this place, keep this thing at the forefront of our minds and hearts to be on the lookout for those that we're supposed to represent you to. Let us be the church, the living, breathing, walking, talking church that represents you to the world around us. God, we give you praise in Jesus' precious name.